A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
A Netflix comedy special.
Ladies and gentlemen!
Title, Tom Papa, What a Day.
Give it up for Tom Papa!
Tom wears glasses and sips a martini at a bar. He puts down the glass and walks around the corner into a blue-lit auditorium. He walks past the packed audience towards the stage, fist-bumping with fans. Tom has close-cropped gray hair on his balding head. As he mounts the stage, he pauses and opens his hands, a shocked expression on his face. Tom walks to the front of the stage and opens his arms to the audience. A rocky blue wall stands behind him. A spotlight shines on Tom.
Thank you very much. Look at you. Look at you. Still alive. Good job. Proud of you. Oh, thank you so much for that. This is so nice to be here. We're gonna have a good time, I hope. They say these are very exciting times. They are. Some people say they're scary times. I disagree. I think these are very exciting times. When they're changing all the rules, we can do anything we want now. I say, let's kidnap some billionaires. Why not? We got a lot of problems. Five guys have all the money. Let's go get them. Who's gonna stop us? Look, I'm all for you being a billionaire. Good job, good job. You worked hard, you changed the world, and you're a billionaire. You get to be a billionaire for 24 hours. You don't start giving that money away to poor people by morning, we're coming to get you. Could you imagine $1 billion? I don't even dream like that, do you? One person, $1 billion? No, I used to be bothered by big dreams and high expectations. Not anymore. This is it, guys. This is it. We're already doing it. You did it. Good job.
Tom shrugs.
This is it. Really, for me, a good day now is any day I don't have to retrieve a username and password.
Oh. Tom places a hand on his chest.
What a great day. There's nothing worse on the planet when you're about to have some fun and you're cock-blocked by the username and password. There's nothing worse. I mean, I know there's wars going on and things are on fire, but for us, there's nothing worse. And it's not like in the olden times in fairy tales and storybooks when you need a magical password and you go on an adventure and you get something amazing for it. You know, you need the password to get in the gate and you go into the dark forest and become friends with a talking crow and you fight a demon with a willow stick and you get the password and the doors open up and a unicorn gives you a ride to a magical wizard who gives you gold coins and sexual favors. We don't get any of that. After pouring our heart and souls into our devices for 3 straight hours, giving away all our family secrets, our mom's maiden name and who she had sex with in high school. And then we play that squarey game like we're in nursery school. Is there a stoplight in the square? Is there a dump truck in the square? Was that my dead grandma in the square? And then they send you a bunch of codes to other emails you don't have the password for either. And then finally you get the password. Do we get sexual favors from wizards? No. What do we get? What do we get? We get to order on the Pizza Hut app. Yay! Yay!
Tom leans on the mic stand and shakes his head.
If only I had the courage to call someone on the phone 3 hours ago and place this order. But I'm scared of people now. I don't know what that 16-year-old manager at the Pizza Hut's gonna ask me, but it's gonna be scary.
Tom shakes his head.
There's no way around it. We're all being changed. We're all being dragged into the metaverse. We're being turned into robots as we speak. You remember you before these devices? As a different person. You get a glimpse of it every once in a while when you go out into the world without your phone. You ever do that? You ever leave your phone behind? By mistake, of course, you wouldn't do it intentionally. But just go out about the day without your phone? Oh, what a great day. Once you get past the crying and the dry heaving and tugging on strangers' pant legs, asking for help. Once you get through all of that, it's a magical day. You just walk around with your own thoughts, just thinking about stuff. Wow, this must be what Benjamin Franklin felt like. Just walking around, thinking about kites and candies and syphilis.
Tom purses his lips and turns his head side to side.
Well, there's no getting around it. The world is just, it's too easy with it now. Could you imagine traveling without your phone? Could you imagine leaving tomorrow, going to the airport, getting on a plane and leaving for 3 days without your phone? Oh, terrifying idea. How'd you even get to the airport? That's a good question. How did you get to the airport? Is Uber responding to smoke signals now? And what happens once you're at the airport and they change your flight or they change your gate? How are you gonna know? You're not gonna know. You're just gonna wander the halls of the airport until you die. You're going to die at the airport on the floor outside of a Hudson News. That's filled with things that could save you if only you had Apple Pay. That'd be a good ending to the story. Or would it? What happens if you die and you go up to heaven and they're like, oh, we weren't gonna let you in, but you did your best. All right, you get in. Welcome to heaven. Congratulations. What's your username and password?
He pouts. Subtitles, Tom. I don't have it. Tom places a hand on his suit jacket lapel.
Remember 2 years ago when they told us we couldn't see our families? Remember that? Yeah, don't do it. Don't go home. You're gonna kill your family with your face.
Tom's eyes shift and widen.
No holidays for you. You know, not this year. You stay home, you're gonna kill your mom with your breath. 2 years, no family. Oh my God, those were the good old days.
He grimaces and raises an eyebrow.
We all had the same excuse. I would love to come home, but they won't let me. I'm gonna have to spend Thanksgiving with my friends and have fun this year.
He squinches up his face.
Oh man, families are a blessing. It is a blessing if you have your family, but it doesn't make them any less annoying. I just saw my parents. Oh my God, they're getting goofy. My father bought my mother one of those weapons-grade jackhammer massage guns. Have you seen these things? These new torture devices they're just selling to old people to try on each other? No background check, no licensing, no training of any kind. My father just aimed it at my mother's shoulder and hit the trigger.
Tom shakes his head.
Wasn't good. It just gathered up her skin like pancake batter.
Tom makes a finger gun and mimes firing it.
She couldn't get away, he couldn't turn it off. She looked like a Shar Pei stuck in a car wash.
He expands his chest and undulates his shoulders in a flapping motion. Tom faces the audience and shakes his head.
Yeah, got the nod out. It also got her collarbone out and her shoulder blade. And all her insides are on the outside now. Oh, I love them to death, I do. But what are we doing with our old people? What are we doing with our old people? We should be protecting our old people. Why are we telling our old people they can do more things the older they get? That's not how it works. You don't add things to your bucket list after 70. Anything you don't do by 70, you don't have to do.
Tom makes a wide-eyed stare.
My mother watches TV, she gets these ideas, seeing all these active old people, and she comes back, well, your father and I are gonna start to travel. Yeah, your dad and I are gonna hit the road. Time to start traveling. No. You're scared of stairs. This isn't the time to backpack through Europe. Your ankles are made of popsicle sticks. It takes Dad 3 tries to get up the ramp at Starbucks, just gaining momentum till he eventually bursts through the door and forgets where he is. Starts cursing out the barista because his car's not ready.
He jerks his head sassily.
You don't know. Your father and I like activities. We rent the tandem bike, your father and I. We go to the hotel, we rent a tandem bike. Don't. A tandem bike after 70 should be called a double suicide. Two people who don't get along and don't know where they're going, turning in opposite directions, should not be on a tandem bike. You should be in a wagon. You should be in a wagon. And we'll tug you around, you can feed the ducks. We'll have you home by 4 in time for your programs.
Tom smiles smugly. Tom takes a sip of water. He wipes his lips and surveys the audience.
And then they get angry. They get angry if I try and help them and try and give them advice and protect them. They get all defensive. Don't tell us what to do. We're your parents. We made you. All right, thank you for inventing me. That was very nice. But things have changed. Things have changed. My brain's still intact. I didn't put sponges in the toaster this morning.
He cocks his head to one side.
I'm looking forward to the time when my kids help me out. I have 2 teenage daughters. They help me out now. I'm grateful for the assistance. I don't do things right a lot. They don't have to know it's because I'm drunk and high. But I'm confused sometimes. Dad, should the stove still be on? No. No. I made dinner an hour ago.
Tom smiles guiltily.
That pot's gonna have to soak for a while. Fill it with bubbles, we'll deal with it on Wednesday.
He purses his lips.
Dad, that was a stop sign. Well, good thing we're speeding. Hold my weed, I'm gonna make a U-turn. Don't tell your mom. They can be nicer about it, though. There's nothing meaner than a teenage girl when she comes after you. Oh, there's nothing meaner on the planet because they're smart and they're cunning and they just laser in on your weaknesses. It's very unsettling. My daughter came into the kitchen. She said, Dad, we're trying to watch a movie in the other room and we can hear you breathing.
Tom frowns, perplexed. He shrugs.
Oh, okay, I'll just stop that. I'm just up breathing and living here and living all together. How about that? And she just high-fived her sister and went back to watching The Avengers. My other daughter, 16, was just staring me down at breakfast. Very scary. She hasn't made eye contact with me since she was 6.
Tom squints and grimaces, shaking his head.
I don't like the way you chew your granola. Why are you chewing your granola like that? What the hell does that even mean? It's granola. It's big and it's crunchy. I have to make it smaller. It's gonna rip apart my trachea. How do you eat your granola? You just swallow it whole like a snake? Devil child? This is the same daughter, by the way, who without my permission or my knowledge during the Troubles went out and adopted a rescue pug. A pug, did all the paperwork herself and just showed up with a pug. If you don't know what a pug is, they advertise it as a dog.
He shakes his head and smiles.
It is not. It has a fat, round, hairy, turkey-like body. 4 spindly legs that look like it couldn't support that fat body. Dogs have paws. Pugs have long lady fingers with fancy press-on nails.
He waggles his fingers.
Some have 4, some have 3, some 2, like a chicken foot.
Tom mimes walking with 2 fingers.
And the face of an arthritic 80-year-old man. Eyes that look like it belongs on a different animal altogether. It looks like God was making it, ran out of pug eyes, and said, let's give it cow eyes, see how that goes.
He shakes his head.
It doesn't go. This poor guy's got these 2 bulbous things hanging out of his skull. The lids can't even get up and over the ball. He hasn't had his eyes shut in the time I've had him. He just struggles and snores 24 hours a day. Is he asleep right now? We're on a walk.
Tom looks down at the floor.
Fun fact. Fun fact, if a pug falls in the pool, it sinks immediately. Turns out if your head's made of a concrete block, you're gonna face plant in the deep end. Still snoring. Bubbles coming up on either side. I don't think he even knows he's in the pool. I think he thinks he wandered into a weird part of the yard and his glaucoma's flaring up. Best part about him, his name is Frank, which is hilarious, because anytime you yell at him, it's like you're in a movie with Sinatra. Come on, Frank, why are you acting that way? You've changed, Frank, you've changed. Like I said, he's a purebred rescue dog. He was found on the mean streets of Downey, California. If you don't know where Downey is, it's a lot like here, but a little more stabby. So why? Why was Frank just wandering the mean streets of Downey, California? Well, there's either something wrong with him or he's wanted by the law. Something wrong with Frank. Something very wrong with Frank. Frank pees everywhere he goes. Inside or out, wherever the hell he wants, Frank pees. I found this out because I got a black light on Amazon. Yeah, yes. Well, I never caught him in the act. I'd always see him walking down the hall with his fancy lady feet. And a suspicious look in his fat eye. I never caught him. I got that black light and I went through my house. He has devastated my home. Ruined it. My office in particular, wrecked it. First, I didn't say anything. I was like, what if it's me?
He shrugs, embarrassed.
But after careful analysis, it's Frank. It's very low. So what do you do? I got angry at first. I'm like, how do I handle this? Maybe I just leave the back door open and see if he wants to go for a swim?
Tom looks down at the floor and shakes his head.
Then I checked myself. I was like, no, let's get him checked out. Maybe there's something really wrong with Frank. You know, I don't know. Maybe he's got a bladder problem. I don't know what goes on inside pugs other than prizes. Maybe there is a urinary tract infection. I don't know. I took him in and he's a healthy son of a pug. Everything checks out. There's nothing wrong with his urinary tract. No infections, nothing. Although what's wrong with Frank, according to the vet, in medical terms, is Frank is an asshole. He knows what he's doing and he's gonna continue doing it while he's looking me right in the face. So I went back to Amazon, where all our answers lie. And they make diapers for pugs. You can get them on Amazon. I know, it's pathetic. It doesn't even look like a diaper. It looks like one of those Velcro back braces the UPS guy wears his last year on the job, you know? Just kind of hanging off his ass. Doesn't look like it does much, but his sciatica is really bothering him. We don't call them diapers out of respect for Sinatra. We call them pants. Come on, Frank, we got company over. Put on some pants, will you? Crying out loud.
He frowns.
I'll admit, it felt weird putting pants on a dog. Didn't feel right, didn't feel natural. But then I thought about it. Look what these dogs have done in our short years. You know, when I was a child, a dog was a dog. It lived outside in the yard, tied to a tree. If you went somewhere, the dog waited for your return. It could be an hour, it could be a day, it could be a year. The dog waited for you to come home. You'd never say to your father, can we bring the dog with us on vacation? They would have tied you to the other tree.
He waves an arm.
And look what they've accomplished now, these dogs. I see them everywhere. I see them checking into hotels by themselves. I see them in fancy restaurants drinking martinis. Boarding flights to Hawaii. Well, I don't know how you did it, dogs, but you did it. You're part of the human world. You did it. Congratulations. Now that you're here, take your tongue out of your ass and take a look around. And you'll notice we're all wearing pants because we know what our junk looks like and it should be covered up.
Tom holds out a hand.
I don't know if you've ever seen a pug's penis, sir. You look like you've seen some shit in your day. Maybe did some time. I don't know how you live. If you haven't seen it, Google it after the show. All of you, Google it after the show. Private browser.
He holds up a hand and waves his fingers.
Wait till you see it. It's weird. It's misshapen. It's covered in weird multicolored horse hairs. Follows you around the room when you walk by. It looks like something the devil would tickle you with.
Tom holds out his pointer finger and wiggles it in the air. He scrunches his face in disgust.
Put on some pants. But as disgusting as pugs are, and they are, we're worse. Human beings are worse. I thought we were gonna be better after all the things we went through. I thought we were gonna be a little more germ conscious, a little more mannerly. Nope, just as disgusting as before. We are, we're horrible. They're coughing's back. Walking through the airport, all these people walking around like sea lions. No one covers their mouths. Spraying whole rows of people. I saw a guy on the plane clipping his nails. Yes, thank you. Why is a nail clipper in your pocket in the first place? What's in your other pocket? Use dental floss and toilet paper? What's wrong with you? They're back to spitting everywhere. Those big man spits right on the sidewalk where you're walking. Those big disgusting from the small intestine wind up spits. It was 6 inches from going out the other way. And this guy says, no, I'm bringing it up top.
Tom nods his head confidently.
People are gonna wanna see this. And it just lands on the sidewalk, like an alien afterbirth. It's got eyes and a heartbeat and feelings. It skitters into the sewer and replicates itself. And that's where COVID came from. I'm not really kidding. That's where it came from. Look, all these examples are things that men do. Men do these things. I never saw a woman blow her nose in the air without a tissue in all my days. These are things that men do. And I know we're trying to figure it out. Was it a bat? Was it a kangaroo? Was it a lab? I don't know. But I know one thing's for sure. Men were involved. You know. Some guy dared another guy to do something weird to a bat for $10. And they went out to an alley next to a lab, and a bunch of other guys got in a circle around him and cheered him on. And now we're gonna be wearing masks to the end of time. We can't help it. Men, we're horrible. Men are horrible. We're horrible. We're disgusting. Every guy in here pees in his own yard. Pees in his, right? Yes.
Tom shrugs.
No, Tom, not my guy. Yeah, your guy. I guarantee it, when you're not looking, behind the lounge chair, behind the grill, in the grill if it's on. Yeah, because that's a fun noise.
He shakes his head.
Think about it. Any inconvenience you have out in the world is because men were there before you, did something horrible, and they had to change the rules. Why can't you just walk into a bathroom at a gas station? Why do they have to give you a key attached to a chain, attached to a truck tire? And we have to drag it around the building like an Egyptian slave. Why? Because men were in there. Horrible men doing horrible things. Playing in the toilet like a bird bath.
Tom shimmies his shoulders.
Putting their penis in the hand dryer. Yes. You think when the Dyson came out, that's not what they were doing? That's what they're doing.
He undulates his hand up and down.
Oh, and I know the ladies' room is no treat either, but that's not because of anything you do in there. That's because men sneak in there when you're not looking and use your hand dryer too.
Tom scrunches up his face apologetically.
But, as disgusting as we are, and no man in here will dispute that fact, we're good for you. Men are good for you. We make you stronger. Yes, we're immunity boosters. You think this whole thing was bad? It would have been twice as bad if men weren't fiddling their nuts and grabbing every door handle in town. So, you're welcome.
He smiles.
The other thing that men have, and I don't understand why women don't have it, this seems backwards to me, is this incredible amount of self-esteem and self-confidence built on absolutely nothing. As awful as we are, every guy also thinks everyone wants him all the time. A guy will pee in his backyard, walk out the front door, and think, she wants me. And yet women are the most magical, beautiful creatures on this planet, just gliding around the globe like cotton candy goddesses, just filled with life and love and beauty and self-doubt. Do I look fat? Do I look old? I hate my hair, I hate my eyes, I hate my ass. And meanwhile, you're walking around with a pet orangutan.
Tom holds out an arm and widens his eyes.
Who doesn't even look in the mirror?
He shakes his head as he holds onto the mic stand.
The epitome of male vanity is in the summer. In the summer, in any town, you will see a man, an 80-year-old man, walking down the street in a tank top, or worse, no shirt at all, just strutting down the sidewalk like an expired rotisserie chicken.
Tom makes finger guns and struts jauntily in place.
No muscle mass left, just two bony chicken wings.
He flaps his arms.
Licorice nipples swaying in the wind.
Tom twirls his index fingers in circles.
Gold chains tangled in his spooky cobweb body hair. With the nerve to hit on young women. God, I don't know how you women let us climb all over you. I really don't. I would be a lesbian for sure. Both of my daughters are straight. I'm like, focus, we have time. You don't have to do this.
Tom takes a sip of water.
I am not a lesbian. I am a straight married man. I've been married now to the same woman for 22 years. Thank you.
He holds out his hand to stop the applause.
You don't know what I'm going through. No, she's great. Of course, 22 years. She's the best. I love her to death. You know, I'm not going to be up here attacking marriage. I'm not. I believe in marriage. I really do. I think it's a hard life to get through. If you can find someone else, you know, and partner up and get through it all, it's good. It can make your life a lot better. If you find the right person, of course, and lower your expectations of what you're going to get out of it, you'll be very happily married. And I don't mean to demean it when I say lower your expectations. I really don't. I think that's why people get divorced. I think they have too high of an expectation of what they're going to get out of this one relationship. Eh, it's not that much. Don't put so much pressure on it. And keep your eyes open when you're going into it in the first place. Don't be dumb about it. Gotta be smart, you know? I have a friend that's thinking about getting married. He's so dumb the way he's talking. He's a moron. He's been with the girl for 5 years, and these things he talks about, she's nice, you know, her family's pretty cool, you know, she's smart, but I don't know if she's hot enough. I don't know, yeah, I'm talking about getting married. Is she hot enough? Are you high? Hot enough? You're talking about getting married for the rest of your life. You don't care about hot. You don't marry hot. You marry strong. You don't want a supermodel. You want someone who can pick up the other end of the couch.
Tom shakes his head in disbelief.
Without taking the cigarette out of her mouth. That's who you marry. No, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Look, if you're married and you're in here tonight, this is a great night for you. You're having a great time. There's no pressure on you at all. You're married. You don't even care if your partner's having fun right now.
He shrugs.
That's not why you're here. Let's let someone else talk for an hour. It's easy. If you're dating, if you're in here right now on a date, this is a difficult night for you. This is a lot of work. You actually care how this goes tonight. You want them to be happy. It's a lot of pressure. And this is why, this is the thing that bothers me about dating. It's like, if you do get in a fight on the way home tonight, maybe off of something I'm about to say, if you get in a fight tonight, the whole relationship could be over tonight. Tonight, you could end it tonight. Because you have that option. And that's a horrible option to have. Because if you do leave, oh my God, you gotta get your laptop and all your chargers. Get a new haircut, buy some cool clothes, go back out into the world, lie to everybody all over again about how great you are. My wife and I could get in the same exact fight tonight, and we're not breaking up. We are not leaving, because we don't have that option. We could get in the worst fight in the world. We are not leaving. I'm not leaving. I get in a fight, I don't leave. I go to the pantry.
Tom shrugs nonchalantly.
I go to the pantry, and I get a sleeve of Girl Scout cookies. And I eat them. One by one, as I'm staring at my reflection in the toaster oven.
He mimes chewing a cookie and wipes a hand on his jacket sloppily. Tom wipes his mouth with the back of his hand.
Until I feel so disgusting that I forgive her for whatever it is she said. Because I know she's probably right. Because she's married to a monster person who just ate 24 Samoas standing up. I don't need cool clothes. I don't have to get a new haircut. I get a haircut when she says get a haircut. And I get clothes when she's getting clothes. It reminds me, I need clothes. That's how married couples end up looking alike. Be right back, going to get sneakers. Wait a minute.
He widens his eyes.
I need sneakers too. You do? You wanna come? Yeah, I wanna come. Let's go, sneaker day.
Tom dances in place, moving his hips from side to side.
And we go to Foot Locker, and we sit in the married section. And they bring out sneakers that aren't made for any athletic event whatsoever. No, they're big, and they're white, and they got Velcro. They're good for standing while we wait for each other.
He thrusts his hips back and forth.
You want socks too? You read my mind. Socks, shorts, and sneakers. Don't bag them up. We're gonna wear them out.
Tom shakes his hips excitedly.
Do we look good? No, we don't look good. That wasn't the point. The point was to make each other unfuckable to the rest of the world. We don't need some single pervert looking at your cool shoes and making a move on you. That'll ruin the good thing we got going. What about the sex, Tom? What about the sex? Everyone always asks, well, what's this one person for the rest of your life? What about the sex? Oh, grow up. Dumbass sex. You mean the cause of every dumb decision you ever made, that sex? Sex is fun, but it's a ride. It's a ride. First time I went on Space Mountain, sure, it was exciting. I didn't know I was gonna do that. Whee! Hey! I've been riding Space Mountain now for 22 years. I know how it goes. It's fun, but you end up confused, nauseous, and in need of a nap. I was staying in New York recently, and the people in the hotel room next to me were having sex, very loud, very rhythmic, very joyful, and it kept going, 15, 20 minutes. I was like, oh, I guess the pandemic's over. Have fun in there. Didn't stop, kept going, 25, 30 minutes, nonstop, no break, 30 straight minutes. I called my wife. I was like, I owe you an apology. Didn't stop there. 35, 40 minutes. 40 minutes nonstop action. We've never hit 40 minutes. 40 minutes straight? No. You could add in dinner. We haven't hit 40 minutes.
He furrows his brow and shakes his head.
I wouldn't want to. 40 minutes? Get off me. I got stuff to do. Where's my phone?
Tom smiles.
At an hour, I just put in earplugs and cried myself to sleep. I don't want to know these people even exist out there. Woke up the next morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, still heard it. Still heard it, 7 in the morning. I go, wait a minute. This isn't people, this is porn. This is porn. Oh, I was so relieved. But then I got angry. Who's in there at the ass end of a pandemic spraying all over like Frank? A man, a disgusting man. Awful. Look, I'm not gonna judge you wherever you're at in your relationship, single or married, I don't know. You know, these things are complicated. They're difficult to navigate. You know, and it's very tricky because you hook up with somebody you don't know. You're gonna go the distance, that's gonna change. You're gonna change. You're both gonna get weird hobbies and start doing weird things. You're gonna look weird. You know, it's gonna change. You're gonna find out things about your spouse that you didn't even see coming. You know, I just found out my wife doesn't like when I read. She doesn't like when I read. Anything, a book, a magazine, a cereal box. If my wife sees me reading, she doesn't think, oh, he needs some quiet time. No, she thinks, oh, he's bored. Let me tell him a story about my sister at work.
He raises his brows, eyes wide. He shakes his head.
Oh, he's reading a book. He must be really bored. Let me tell him about my mom's new lease agreement on her apartment. The other time she likes to talk is late at night. Late at night when I get into bed, put my head on the pillow, and turn out the lights. That's when she likes to talk about cancer, child abductions, and the end of days. Whatever bad news she gathered up during the day, she's gonna sprinkle on my side of the bed.
Tom mimes sprinkling with his fingers.
Until she unloads and starts to snore. Soon as she turns out the light, I spoke to your mom on the phone today. She sounded so old. I wonder how much more time we have with her.
Tom makes a shocked face and mimes turning to his wife in bed.
Have you pet the cat recently? He's got a tumor on his neck. Carol's cat grew a tumor. It's so big, it looks like he's wearing a hat.
His eyes bulge and shift side to side.
Did I mention I spoke to your mom on the phone today? Who's older, your mother or your father? One of them's not making it to Christmas. I can feel it.
Tom looks around perplexed. He slowly turns his head back to the mic.
I can't believe our daughters are going away to college soon. It's terrible to think they'll be out in the world with all those horrible men. Probably no more horrible than what they're doing in their rooms on their phones right now, though. Carol's daughters have been taking pictures of their vaginas, putting them on the internet.
Tom looks confused as he mimes turning towards his wife in bed.
Do you think that's what our daughters are doing right now? 20 feet from our bed? On our family plan?
He looks worriedly at his wife. Tom turns back to the mic.
I spoke to your mom on the phone.
His head sags. Tom straightens up and shakes his head.
And I stare at the ceiling for 6 straight hours. Just waiting for the sun to come up so I can get some coffee and get away from this devil woman I sleep with. Shouldn't be sleeping in the same bed anymore. Not all the time, once in a while. It's fun. But, you know, yeah, look, I hope you find love in your life. I really do. I hope you're as lucky as I've been. But it doesn't mean the life sentence of having to be in the same bed with your partner for the rest of your life. Oh, my God. Look, I tell her, look, someone's leaving tonight. Someone's getting the pillow, kicking the other one, and leaving in the middle of the night in a rage. Why not do that at 10 with a peck on the cheek?
He holds out a hand expectantly.
Love ya. Mwah. See you in the morning. Mwah. Won't do it. She's hanging on to the young version of us. And of course, when you're starting out, you should be in the same bed. You have to be. You're young, sexual, you're in love, you make love three times a night, you end up asleep in a pretzel twist with a foot in your face hanging upside down. And you do sleep well that way. That's the thing. You actually sleep a solid 8 hours that way. And you wake up in the morning so refreshed and in love. You look at each other. Let's do it again. Let's have morning sex, you say. Oh, we don't say that where I live. No, we're too busy in the morning pointing at each other and blaming each other for who ruined the sleep last night.
Tom points a finger accusingly.
It was you. There's something wrong with you. Oh, no, you need a doctor. There's something inside of you, and it's trying to get out. And the reality is, it's probably both of us. Because we're over 40. And if you're over 40, you have a 50% chance of getting a good night's sleep tonight. 50%, just you, alone. 50% chance you'll get a good night's sleep. Because you're dying. You're slowly dying. Your body's trying to choke you out, and technology's keeping you alive. 50% chance you'll get a good night's sleep. And not because you did something crazy, not because you went on a cocaine bender. No, someone had a cookie after six.
He opens his mouth in shock and covers it with a hand.
Donna had cheese at the party. Oh no, she's not gonna breathe right for a week. Bob had three beers. Welcome to the fart palace. Buckle up, no one's sleeping tonight. My wife has a lot going on. She grinds her teeth in her sleep. She's so angry, she's grinding her own teeth down to nubs. And rather than find out the cause of that, they don't do that. Instead, they just give her an NFL-issued mouthpiece and just shove that in her mouth like a chew toy from Petco. She goes through three or four a month like an angry beaver. Meow, meow. I wake up with bits of plastic all over my face. Meow,
meow. Tom grimaces and brushes away the phantom bits of plastic.
And it's blue and it glows in the dark. Yeah, that's how I know if we're fooling around at night. If I see a blue floaty thing coming across the room, not happening. Not tonight. He just put on her equipment. Put on her headgear and her mouth guard and her eucalyptus ointments. Climbs into bed with her unshaved legs like a koala bear. Like an angry koala bear trying out for the Packers.
He widens his stance and steps in place.
And she gets up to pee like 6-7 times a night. I didn't know a woman could have a swollen prostate, but she does. When she walks, her ankle pops. You can hear it. Pop, 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 pop. You don't hear it during the day when there's leaf blowers and garbage trucks. You don't hear it at all. 3 o'clock in the morning, loudest sound you'll ever hear. Pop, 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 pop. Trying to breathe through the mouthpiece. Oof. Oof. Pop, 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 pop. Oof. It's like Darth Vader's trapped in bubble wrap in my bedroom. And that's why you should get married too.
Tom sips water and sets down the glass, refacing the audience.
weird being a human being, isn't it? So this is weird. It's weird what you're going through. I know, because I'm one too. It's weird. You know, the whole reason we're here is to connect with people. That's our whole thing. Connect with people. Befriend people. Date people. Marry people. Make new people. But everybody that you fall in love with, everybody you connect with, you have more to worry about. Every love is a worry. It's a weird way to live. That's why everyone's on drugs. First time I took my daughter into a doctor's appointment when she was a baby, her first doctor's appointment, I realized, oh, I'm never gonna sleep again. I never loved something so much and felt so vulnerable at the same time. It's a weird way to live. And everything was cool, but it was terrifying. The doctor was like, okay, everything's great. You know, everything's good. Okay, good, good, good. One thing, shit, what is it? Just start sweating immediately. Not a big deal, but her head is in the 5th percentile.
Tom gapes and looks around.
What does that mean? It means that 95% of the heads out there are bigger than her head. What? Yes, only 5% of the population have a head as small as your daughter's. You don't see them because they're scurrying in the dark from alleyway to alleyway.
His head turns from side to side, his face a mask of consternation.
What? Not a big deal, we'll just keep checking every 6 months. Oh, okay. I got her home, I took her to the playroom, started blowing in her mouth. Come on, grow. Panicked for 2 years. Of course, there's nothing to worry about. Everyone's head grows. You never walk through the mall, see someone with a ping pong head walking down the hall, the bottle cap for a hat. Hello.
Tom smiles goofily and mimes tipping a hat.
No, everyone's head is fine. But you shouldn't stop loving because of the fear. You can't. You got to. The more you love, the less you actually are frightened. You know, you just got to keep doing it. And all the people in your life, the closest people to you, you don't even know what they're up to anyway. Everyone's got their own secrets, their own lives. You're not responsible for them. Even the people that you make, even your children. My daughter came home from college, the first year from college. And I was like, oh, you're an adult now. Welcome home. Would you like some wine with dinner? You're a grown-up now. Welcome. How about some wine? She goes, no thanks, Dad. I don't drink. Oh. I don't like alcohol. Oh, what a good dad I am. She said, I only smoke weed.
He looks taken aback.
Oh, how long you been doing that? Since I was a freshman in high school, she said.
Tom frowns.
Oh, where? In my room, she said. 4 years straight A student, high as a kite. In my house. She loved the weed. Here's the problem. I love the weed more. And for 4 years, I didn't smoke it because I want to be a good example for the children. For 4 years, I ate nothing but handfuls of melatonin gummies to get some kind of buzz and eventually fall asleep. She was doing bong hits right down the hall.
The spotlight shines down on Tom.
My real goal, what I've learned having these kids, is just make good people. Make good people. There's a lot of bad people out there. There's a lot of good people. We can't change the bad people, apparently, but maybe we could outnumber them by making more good people. Should be easy. It's not like bad people are making great kids. No, they make shitty kids. You see him out there knocking things over in restaurants, falling down wells.
He smirks.
I don't know why we even scoop him out. Who's falling down a well? Not a good kid. They're gonna fall again. Seems like it should be easy to change bad people, doesn't it? Seems like it should be easy. It's common sense. Look, your life will be better if you just turn it down a notch and try and get along with the rest of us. I know you don't care about anyone else, but your life will be better and less stress if you just turn it down a notch. We're not even asking you to do anything extra. Just do less of what you're doing now. Start small. Start small. Don't put testicles on the back of your pickup truck. Why are you doing that? What is wrong with you, and why are you doing that? I have a minivan filled with children and old people. We don't need you teabagging us on the freeway.
He shakes his head.
It's It's not easy to be good. You all got to work at it. You're good people. I can tell. The people who come to my shows are always nice people, but you got to work at it. You all drive cars, so I know you're an asshole once in a while. Right? Everyone's merging. A nice, beautiful day. You even surprise yourself all of a sudden out of nowhere. Not today, you old bag. You're not getting in front of me. No. I feel you looking at me. I'm not going to look back. Not today, raisin face. Not today. Where the hell did that come from? Gotta work at it. Be nice to people in customer service. Be nice to people in customer service. You think they want to wait on you? These people waiting on you? No. You're not the queen because you walked into a restaurant. They don't want to wait on you. It's their job. They just want to make some money, pay their rent, and buy some cocaine on the way home.
Tom stares intensely.
And from a former busboy, be extra nice to the busboys because those people will lick your rolls.
Tom cocks his head and smiles sarcastically.
Be nice to people in customer service on the phone. You think these kids in India want these jobs helping us? No. They just want their families to survive. Could you imagine them telling their friends they got these jobs? I got a job today. Good for you. What are you doing? I'm going to help Americans fix their computers over the phone. Oh, no. You don't even have a computer. I know.
His eyes widen and rove.
You hardly speak English. I know. They're gonna kill you. I start tomorrow. I'm supporting babies who cry on airplanes. Yeah, I'm team baby now. I'm always next to some businessman who's always complaining. Oh, shut that damn kid up. Who's gonna shut that kid up? No, wait a minute. You shut up. You're a man. You're a man with hairy arms and a wallet. You chose to be on this flight. That baby doesn't want to be here. No baby wants to be at 30,000 feet with their skeleton collapsing like a Poland spring bottle. Sitting at ass level with all you middle-aged gas bags crop dusting them on the way to your seat. No, that kid's in a bad spot right now. He should be crying on the airplane. We all should be crying on the airplane. He's the only honest one on the goddamn plane. And let me be clear, I'm not even a fan of babies. I'm not. I made two, and I still don't like them. I don't trust anyone whose heart you can see beating out of the top of their head. Useless dinner roll feet can't stand for years. No, I don't like them. But if a kid's crying, they're in a bad spot. They're at church or in the restaurant or on a plane. You know, let them cry. Let them cry. You took them out too early. Why you got to take them everywhere? They're babies. Leave them at home. That's a happy baby. It's at home, 72 degrees, naked, Cheerios stuck to their torso, eating out of the cat dish. That's a happy baby. You got to go out putting a big pink bow on her bald head so everyone stops calling her a boy. She looks like a boy. She's not done yet. She looks like a man. She looks like a middle-aged man working at the docks. Give her a year, let her fill in, then take her for a ride.
Tom shakes his head.
Now you want to complain to me about toddlers who have their own seats in business class? I'll listen to you. Because that should be illegal. I travel a lot. Oh, that's tough to take, my friends, when I don't get the upgrade and I'm jammed in coach between two sumo wrestlers in track suits, eating pretzels like a praying mantis for 6 hours.
Tom scrunches up his face and mimes eating pretzels. He smiles contently.
And the toddler standing naked in my seat, drinking a mimosa and giving me the finger through the curtain.
He shakes his head sternly.
Tough to take. Look, I understand. I understand why we get angry at babies hearing them cry on a plane. Because you're scared. You're scared. That businessman's scared. We're all scared. It's scary up there. It's scary. Yeah? It's scary. You know, we're not far from the children that we were. And you get scared and you hear a cry for help, you get more unnerved. You know, that was the nice thing about being home for 2 years. You feel safe at home. You know, it gives you this illusion that you got control over the universe, which of course we don't, but at least there you know where the toilet paper is and where all the spoons go. And as soon as you travel, it's uncertainty. Look, I've had a great time here with you tonight. This was a wonderful experience. I love all of you, but it was hell getting here. As soon as you get to security, it's just you're like a third grader being yelled at by the principal. As soon as you leave your house and you're at security, they're holding up your bag. Whose bag is this? Ah, shit, my bag. Is there water in here? Maybe.
Tom looks embarrassed.
You're a moron. No, I can do things.
He grimaces anxiously.
Then you get to the hotel, more uncertainty, right? How does the key work? How does the elevator work? How's the remote control work? How's the thermostat work? Whose curly hair is this? And how do you turn on the lamp? How do you turn on the damn lamp? Why are there so many lamps? You can never find the switch on the lamp. Is it on the base? Is it on the stem? Is it a chain? Where's the switch? You put it on the wire under the table? You heartless sons of bitches. I'm just a strange man in a strange town trying to survive. And this is the easiest travel you could have, by the way. This is alone with a wheelie bag. Then you travel with your family. Oh, that's hell on earth. A family vacation? Don't do that. Don't do that. Look, a family is a bad organization. It barely works at home. Why would you take it on the road? And I'm always so stupid. I always think, well, when we get to the resort, then I'll have fun. Travel will be hell, of course, but when we get to the resort, I'll have my time. No, you moron. Now you're in this weird reality show with obstacles being thrown at you you couldn't even dream of. Like, I'm running out of nowhere. Your wife was just stung in the vagina by a jellyfish. Go!
Tom crouches and looks around in consternation. He cocks his head to one side.
Your mother-in-law is trying out her new Spanish on the busboy and saying slightly racist comment. Go!
He looks around, confused.
Lo siento, lo siento. Your youngest child just broke out in hives in the middle of the night. There's not a hospital for hours. What are you gonna do? What am I gonna do? I'm gonna get a dirty Benadryl out of the bottom of my backpack.
He shrugs.
Take the hair off it, give it to her, put her back in bed, and hope she wakes up in the morning. I'm not a doctor, I'm a drunk dad on vacation. And newsflash, the kids don't want to be there either. No kid wants to be trapped in a hotel room with their half-naked parents. The only two people who can get them in trouble. Your whole childhood is spent getting away from your parents, hiding in tree houses and piles of leaves, sleeping over your friend's house. My friends and I used to play in a drain pipe. A drain pipe that took all the human waste from the town and dumped it in the lake. Yes, that's where we played, in the town shit pipe. And we loved it, because we knew our parents would never look for us in the shit pipe. Tom's been gone a while. Do you think he's in the pipe? No. Scary in the shit pipe. And it was. There were ghosts and that clown from It. It was scary in there. But I would much rather be in the pipe than sitting in a hotel room at the end of the bed waiting for my father to come out of the bathroom for an hour and a half.
Tom furrows his brow and looks afraid.
What are those noises? Sounded like a bear rummaging through a dumpster filled with balloons.
He grimaces.
He'd come out an hour later. I wouldn't go in there if I were you. But I have to go in there. There's nowhere else to go. Walking through a toxic haze. Oh, why does it smell like an antique pet shop in here? Standing in your socks and water. What did he do?
Tom looks down at his feet.
That's childhood, isn't it? Being stuck in your socks in some place you didn't ask to go. It's tough being a kid, isn't it? It's like a hostage situation. 18 years being dragged around by these two kidnappers. No money, no identification. 18 years. No decision is your own. Get in the car. Where are we going? I said, get in the car.
Tom raises his eyebrows and mimes sitting down.
Thank you so much for coming. You guys were tremendous. Thank you so much.
Tom bows. He blows a kiss at the audience.
Sincerely, thank you so much. Take care of yourselves. Take care of yourselves. And I'll see you next time around. Thank you.
Audio description provided by Roundabout Entertainment. Voiced by Matt Tang. Written and performed by Tom Papa. Executive producers, Tom Papa, Brian Folkweiss, Cisco Henson. Producer, Michael Epstein. Directed by Gregory Jacobs. Additional credits roll. Copyright Netflix 2022. Comedy Dynamics, a Nacelle company.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.